Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
What is the real cost of owning a pet? How can you protect your budget and still care for your pet? Do outlet malls really save you money? Do you pay top dollar for substandard products and merchandise or not? We're going to get answers for you. My guest is Janet Bodner. She's the editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Janet, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Oh, thank you, Shirley.
It's nice to see you again. And, you know, these are two topics that really hit a nerve with people. How many people own pets and spend a fortune on getting medical care for them?
That is true.
And don't we all love outlet malls? Mm. If not, there's something wrong with you. So let's start out talking about pets because I know that how expensive it can be. My son had a cat that was diabetic. And, you know, that poor darling cat, it had to have medicine. It had to have, you know, lots of treatment. What are some of the tips? Where does a pet owner start? And should you start thinking about caring for the pet medically when you get the pet?
Well, there are so many things that we could say here, but let me start with this. If you want to start with actually getting the pet, you know, one thing, if let's say you're interested in purchasing a dog, for example, well, purebreds are tend to have higher medical needs than mixed breeds do. I mean, they're less hardy, right? And so they can come up with some of the, sometimes very often there are hereditary ailments that they have, and you're going to have higher bills with them. So first decision, if you're going to go that route, you probably should know that you're going to have higher medical bills. Another thing is, all right, if you really want to keep your costs down, you can adopt a pet. If you're interested in a dog, for example, you can adopt a pet. And you will pay
an
adoption
fee. And that's a great thing to do.
Which is true. Now, it's not cheap, you know, and actually it's funny. I've known people who have adopted pets and they say it's like adopting a kid. You have to fill out all this paperwork and kind of, you know, prove that you're actually going to be a good parent, if you will. So, you know, it isn't as easy as it sounds. And it will cost you, we estimated Kiplinger's, the fees can range anywhere from $30 to $150 to, you know, actually go through
now,
the procedure.
Now, is that true if you go to something like the SPCA or you adopt a, like a greyhound, which was a race dog? Now, I have a friend who adopted actually two of them. Is that true there or...
I'm not familiar with all the specific programs.
Okay, so okay, I'm putting you on the spot.
Right,
people
yeah.
can call the organization and
exactly.
find out.
That's exactly. what I would do. I would say, here's my general guideline. Expect that it's going to cost you some money.
A small fee.
Right, because if it doesn't, then you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Right,
so,
exactly.
But it's not going to break the bank. And the other good thing is, you're probably, when you adopt a pet like this, typically the animals will already have been spayed or neutered. They'll have their initial vaccinations, and other types of services may have already been performed. So you won't have to do that. So that's another plus for going the adoption route.
And you may be saving that animal's life.
Oh, exactly. Well, that goes without
right.
saying. We can talk about finances all we want here, but when you're talking about pets, there's always emotion involved.
That's right.
You just don't want the emotion to get the better of your financial
judgment. Your judgment.
Right.
Okay. So if you're buying a thoroughbred or a purebred dog
right.
animal, then you know that your costs are going to probably be higher
right.
for maintaining it through the life of the pet.
Mm-hmm.
So mongrels, there's something to be said for you all out there.
Anyway, a lot to be said for you.
That's right. So what do you do? All right, you've got your pet has to have a series of shots
right.
and different kinds of things to protect it against diseases. But are there medical plans for pets? I mean, how do you buy the medicines for them? I mean, I guess there's so many questions
That's
to
right.
ask.
Well, I think right now what we should talk about is the idea of getting insurance.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of pet insurance available, a lot in the sense that there are a number of companies, almost a dozen companies that offer it. So it's something, pet health insurance is something that you might want to look into. Now, it's not... You know, it is not the answer totally here because, first of all, if you want to get a policy that would cover, you know, something that would like your son's cat acquires diabetes.
Kind of a catastrophic illness thing.
Exactly. Or has an accident or something like that. You might be paying premiums for a long time before something happens, and something may never happen. And so in the initial stages, you may not be getting your money back based on the premiums mm-hmm. that you're putting in. So really, you have to think about it as something that is catastrophic care, something that, you know, you want to mm-hmm. protect yourself against in case there are bills that add up to literally thousands of dollars.
Sure.
Okay, so that's one thing to think about. The opposite end, if you don't want to do that, or you don't want to spend the money or the premiums, you don't think you'll get a good return on your premiums, you can also go the other route and you can do well visits. You can just, you know, maintenance visits. And so you pay a certain amount of money per month. One of the plans that we mentioned in Kiplinger's, and all this stuff is on our website, kiplinger.com. It's called Banfield Hospitals. And this is a series of pet hospitals that are affiliated with PetSmart, the company.
Okay.
And so, for example, if you have a dog, an adult dog, you can spend anywhere from $22 to $32 a month to as, you know, well care insurance. And that will give you access to a lot of the, you know, the vaccinations, you know, traditional stuff that you're going to have to be paying for month to month. And so that gives you a certain level of protection. And there are cheaper plans. There are other ways you can do this. Sometimes you can get involved with a plan that will give you discounts at a vet. So you don't have to go to a particular vet or a particular hospital, but the vet belongs to the plan. And so if you have a checkup, you'll get credit toward the checkup. You know, you'll get a certain percentage off and that sort of thing. And you can have access to other services.
Mm-hmm.
There's even, believe it or not, there's even a credit card that's aimed at pets, and it's called Care Credit, and it actually lets you, again, it's affiliated with certain veterinary practices, so that if you do have a catastrophic event, you can't pay for it. You can charge it on the card, and you may get certain benefits. Maybe you'll get a lower price. Maybe mm-hmm. you'll get a break on the interest rate. Maybe you'll get a certain time over which you can make the payments. But again, it's something to look into. There are a lot of different plans out there, depending on how much risk you want to take and, you know, how much out-of-pocket cost you're willing to take on yourself.
Oh, sure. That's mm-hmm. the thing you always have to factor in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should factor that in before you buy a pet or
exactly.
adopt a pet mm-hmm. because that's a big consideration.
I mean, let me tell you, this is really interesting, Shirley. We had this interesting this is all in the October issue of Kiplinger, by the way, which is now on the newsstands and again on our website. But we did a little chart.
Do you keep, you know, just in case this program runs later, do you keep that information on your website?
Oh,
is
yes.
it generally accessible for how long?
It is in the archive. So if you went to our website, kiplinger.com, and typed in the cost of pets or tips on mm-hmm. cutting the cost mm-hmm. of pets, it would immediately come up
okay.
in the archive.
Okay.
So you would find it.
Because this is good stuff, and if people don't get
right.
to it now, it will be available.
Right.
Okay, that's
exactly.
great. Yes.
But the point I wanted to make is what's really...
Before we do that?
Okay.
Yeah, we just take a brief pause here
okay.
to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Janet Bodner. She's the editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, and we're discussing the cost of owning a pet, and coming up in a few minutes... is do outlet malls really save you money? This is the place you're going to get the answer. So anyway, let's go back, Janet. I'm sorry to have
That's
interrupted
fine.
You.
And just a little point that I wanted to make. We have this very interesting chart that's called the high cost of owning a pet. And we compare pets, everything from a large dog to a goldfish. And you would think, and we compare what the costs are. Now, you would think in two ways. We compare the cost of acquiring said pet and the cost of maintaining said pet. Well, all right. The cost of acquiring a pet, as you might imagine, large dogs come in at the top of the list. It'll cost you about $560 to get a pet if you include everything, and that includes a training class and that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, little extras. But if you talk about the annual maintenance costs, you know what rises to the top are rabbits and guinea pigs.
You're kidding.
No, they're little pets and they don't cost a heck of a lot of money to acquire. But the annual cost of maintaining a rabbit, if you can imagine this, is $715, $620 for a guinea pig and versus $585 for a large dog.
It's all those carrots you buy for the rabbit.
It must be. It is food and it is litter. Litter. See, people don't think of this expense, right?
Oh,
but
yes.
But litter just kind of breaks the bank. So, you know, you think you're saving money by getting this small pet, and you end up with
you may
big
not
expenses.
Be.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I bet cats, too, because you have to have a litter box for cats.
Right. The cost of maintaining a cat per year is $465.
Now, the thing that consumers have to figure in is if you put those animals in a kennel for travel.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Got to think about that. If you travel a lot, you're going to have somebody look after your pet.
These costs that we figured include food, recurring medical expenses, not, you know, the catastrophic stuff,
right.
Litter, toys and treats, and a license.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're factoring in.
Right.
But
those are the things that people need to think about,
right, exactly.
In addition to the standard cost.
Right. Not to mention the fact that if you happen to be allergic, the cost of allergy medication, another thing to factor in.
Well, you know, people love their pets.
That's true. That is very true.
That's right. So so what? All right. What else do we know about owning pets?
Well, another thing that's interesting, we have a couple little tips on ways to save. And one thing that I thought was very interesting is that there are actually daily deal sites that are geared to pets, sort of like a Groupon for pets, you know?
Oh, really?
It's
that's
called Barking. One is called BarkingDeals.com, and another one, this is funny, it's called Coupaw, as in Coupaw.com. And you can get deals on toys, treats, supplies, and other kinds of things.
Now, what about ordering your pet medicine online? Is that what PetSmart does?
Yes.
And I'm sure others.
PetMeds is another
PetMeds.
1-800-PetMeds. You should definitely, if you have to, you know, get medication, definitely compare prices for anything that you need from the vet, from discount sites, one of which is 1-800-PetMeds is one that we recommend. Also, PetSmart is another place to go.
Yeah.
So as many places as possible. And also, you know, buying in bulk, you know, obviously this may sound like an obvious thing, but, you know, if you're going to go to your local warehouse store and, you know, to bulk up on pet food and things like that is, you know, really good. Also, Costco fills prescriptions for pets.
Oh, they do?
Yes, they do. And you don't really have to have a membership, but you may pay a slightly higher price.
If you don't have a membership.
If you don't have a membership, yeah. So those things are important to think about.
Those are really great things for pet owners, ways to save money and enjoy your pet at the same time.
That's
right. I mean, why not?
We try, Shirley.
Yep, you do.
You
all do a great job.
You
do a great job. Listen, I used to read this magazine when it was called Changing Times.
So, and it has changed with the times, but
it
still gives
critical
advice.
Great information for consumers. Okay, let's talk about outlet malls. Who hasn't been to an outlet mall?
Right.
Put up your hand. The room is empty. Nobody's raising their hand. I think outlet malls are fun. Mm-hmm. I have often wondered whether or not you really save money there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you give us some answers.
Okay. Well, let's begin at the beginning. A lot of this is psychological. Usually, you know, you know that if you're going to make a trip to an outlet mall, you know, it's usually a day's excursion or maybe you're on vacation and that's where the outlet malls are.
And you're going to have lunch there.
That's right.
Right.
And, you know, and there's a reason for that. Now, partly it's because there's a financial reason. Maybe the real estate is cheaper for them to, you know, set up shop in areas like this. But it's also true that they figure, well, if you've made it an excursion, you're going to buy something.
Yeah.
You know, you've traveled 50 miles. You're going to have lunch. You're with your friends, whatever. So you have to just be on the alert. That's okay. You just need to know that, you know, this is what's...
It's there's a mental set here.
Exactly. This is the consumer psychology. And another piece of the consumer psychology is that, of course, you will always see the big price tags on the merchandise, and it'll say, you know, manufacturer suggested retail price, you know, $4 gazillion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our price, $2, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, psychologically, you're thinking, oh, such a deal. And, you know, in some cases it is, but not always. And you just need to know that... This is all part of the psychology of having you shop at the outlet mall.
Well, you know, I think it's a good idea. If you're going to do something, if you're going to an outlet mall and you know the stores that are there, go online and see what these stores are selling the merchandise for in their stores.
That's right.
Their regular stores, and see if you're getting a deal. Now, they may not even have the same items. That's one of the criticisms I've heard is that the outlet malls offer items that are not offered in some of the stores. Now, this is not across the board, mind you. Don't everybody get mad at me. But I've heard that the merchandise is necessarily not the same. So I don't know. How do you...
Well,
can you answer that?
Our reporting indicates that is exactly right. In some cases, it really is overstock, you know, that they weren't able to sell in their stores. But in other cases, it is merchandise that is made specifically for the outlets. And this is critical, it may not be the same quality as the stuff that
that's,
you would get
that's
in the
store. Other concern.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. So again, it kind of depends on doing your comparison shopping. You would want to go to a store if you're looking, especially if you're looking for a particular item. You know, you might want to go to the regular retail store and go on the weekends, for heaven's sake, when you have all the Macy's coupons. You know, go to the store and see what you can get the item for at the store and compare it. You know, compare what you might get online, or maybe the outlet mall doesn't even have this particular item. And so you kind of have to, in some respects, you're taking chances, you know. I should tell you this, Shirley, you can. Very often, the outlet malls themselves have their own specials. So if you want to go online for the outlet mall.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, get in touch with the store, the particular brand that you're looking for, mm-hmm. and find out, you know, what they've got on special mm-hmm. at the outlet mall. And when you get to the mall, they always have their own little coupon books. And apparently they often give these coupon books to tour groups that come through. But even if you come through on your own, you should ask for them.
So the first thing you're going to do when you get to the outlet mall is, and oftentimes they have a little information center.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go there. See what kind of things are being offered and what kind of coupons you can get. Great suggestion.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe they'll buy you lunch. Who knows?
And get there early because, again, the real true diehard outlet shoppers get there early. They get in the door. They get the best. They know
and they know what
they
want to buy.
Best selection.
Yeah. Let's just take a pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Janet Bodner. She's the editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, and we're talking about saving money at outlet malls. Now, I've shopped outlet malls, you know, all over the place. You go to the beach. That's one of the things you got to do. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily buy clothes there. You can buy all kinds of products. And I've found sometimes I've saved money. Sometimes it's been a wash. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever ended up paying more for something in an outlet mm-hmm. mall. But the variety that's often offered and all these stores right in one place, it
exactly.
makes shopping really easy.
Yeah, and that's the positive part of the psychology. I mean, you know, the stores obviously have their own consumer psychology that they're trying to get you to literally buy into. But then you have to, if you're smart, you're using your own psychology. Again, all the stores are in one place. If there are brands that you particularly like, you can hit all those stores at one time. I got to tell you, my personal family story, Shirley, we still go to the beach every summer. And when my kids were at home and in school, we always stopped at the outlet mall on the way home from the beach to go get back to school stuff. And again, I thought, just like you, I don't know how much money I actually saved. I don't think I paid more, but it was so convenient because you
That's
had
right.
all the kids there and they could go into the stores and find what they wanted and you could just send them, and if they had their own favorite brands, especially when they got older, they could all go to their own store and find what they wanted. And it was, and then we got home and the back to school shopping was done.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
So, you know, it was a very simple thing to
and
do.
And besides, if it rains at the beach,
I know.
Where do you go?
There is nothing else to do. And you know, for us psychologically, it was always on the last day. I was always so depressed that I had to leave the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of just heading back home and fighting the traffic on the bridge, you know, we'd head for the outlet malls and we'd, you know, spend some time there and have lunch. And then we would go home later in the day and we had all our back to school clothes and we didn't have to fight the traffic on the bridge.
Right.
So it was great.
You may not know the answer to this, but have outlet malls taken a hit from online shopping?
I don't know the answer to that.
I've often
formally.
Wondered, you know, because if you're going to an outlet mall, probably that's because it's a destination.
Right. Uh-huh.
And more than you're searching out something on the internet. I just wondered.
I think it's a different shopping experience.
Shopping malls are fun.
Right, exactly. And any store, probably, any brick and mortar store has probably taken something of a hit from.
Except a lot of
shoppers.
Them, of course, have their own websites. And
exactly.
I mean, the major department stores are fabulous. And a lot of clothing Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm tall. I have to order tall slacks.
So
mostly, you know, I order that online.
That's right, you know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting, though, is one of the statistics that we did find is that outlet mall business is up post-recession. As a result of the recession, because people are paying more attention to their pocketbooks, mm-hmm. The amount of money that's actually being spent at outlet malls has actually
increased.
Yeah, has actually increased.
Oh, that's encouraging.
And it's also surprising to me, too, because I remember there was a time in the not so distant past, that people were wondering if outlet malls were going to survive. Was it just a passing fad?
Sure.
You know, and some of them did start up and then didn't.
Nowadays,
didn't go anywhere.
Some of them have really big name.
Oh yes,
shops.
And they're just as fancy.
Coach, for example.
Yeah. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you do save money. I mean, I'm not trying to give a testimonial for them, but.
Mm-hmm. My kids once went, they did it once and never again. They went to one of the big outlet malls on the day after Thanksgiving. They did this as an excursion, you know, and they just, first of all,
it
the
wasn't
traffic
busy, was
alone
it?
Was horrible. But you had to wait in line to get into the Coach store,
yeah.
not to drop
oh,
names or
yeah.
anything, but they actually had to
right.
wait in line.
Right.
So you have to be, to do something like that, you got to be a diehard shopper.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
the best
got it.
Time is to just go, you know, at an off time, you know, off season. Also, you can get good buys off season as well. I mean, the best time to shop for
winter. We only have about a minute and a half.
Oh, okay.
Let's do something. Let's leave the fun part and go to the serious part of budget planning. Nobody wants to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you have made it somewhat easier, and you've done something online, I think, for consumers, haven't you?
What we have done is we have picked our favorite budgeting sites by what you actually want to do on that site.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you are trying to dig yourself out of debt, there's actually a debt site that's called readyforzero.com, which actually mm-hmm. focuses on that. If you have trouble...
So it focuses on organizing you.
Yes. But
make payments and how you're going to...
Exactly. Right. How are you going to pay off these debts? And that's what it focuses on. So if you're in trouble, you know, that would be something that
that's
you would want to look
into. That's going to resonate with a lot of people.
That's right. Then, if you're an overspender, let's say you're not necessarily in debt, but you like to spend a lot of money, there's another site called Envelopes. Now, what Envelopes is, it's an online equivalent of the old, you know, putting money in an envelope.
Oh,
yes,
that's
but
cool.
You can do it online.
Yeah.
So again, you can, if you're just always overspending on clothes at the outlet malls or, you know, food or pets or whatever, you can actually budget a certain amount of money. Budget is a bad word, but you could put a certain amount of money for each of those things in one of the online envelopes, and it will track your spending. So that's very helpful. And if you're afraid, you know, that your data is going to be somehow taken if you give all your financial information to sites online, there's even a site that's called budgetpulse.com where it's not connected. It's not actually linked to any of your online financial accounts. So you actually have to put the data in yourself and you can keep track of things. Now, it's not as convenient as having the data entered for you. But again, if you're worried about, if you have real safety concerns,
right.
it's just you and nobody else.
Right. And you should look for some of the symbols.
Oh, definitely.
On these sites that tell you that it's that it's secure and
exactly.
that it's part of some of the networks that protect you, that screen
websites. That's right,
websites.
Exactly. And all of the ones that we recommend, they encrypt all of your information. If you're actually putting information online,
it's encrypted.
It's going to be encrypted. And some of them like Mint.com, which is our overall favorite, you know, they've got their information is in bunkers, you know, and they mm-hmm. have what they call, you know, kind of like white knight.
Sure.
You know, people try to come in and bust the system so that they can spot any potential
right.
weaknesses. And so they're very careful about this.
Well, I think that is important to consumers. Mm-hmm. But again, you're some of your favorites, and they can
right.
find this by going to Kiplinger.com.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, we did a really nifty slideshow on this very subject that's mm-hmm. online, and we actually added a couple more sites that we didn't have room for in the magazine. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very
So there's a lot of information to be gathered there.
And you can find the one that best suits you.
Yeah. And that's the important part, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, because if it doesn't suit you, you're
right.
not going to use it.
You're
whether
not
it's
use
online
it.
Or
no.
not, you're
no.
not going to do it. So.
It's got to be something that's convenient,
right.
that you like using it, you feel secure with it. There's just your checklist and, you know, mm-hmm. go for it and find it. Okay. Thank you, Jana. That's great advice. Well, you know, it's always such fun to see you. You have such good information for us. Just to let our listeners know, they've been tuned into Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Janet Bodner. She's the editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.